Please turn to the last verse of the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter concluded his letter with a very important admonition. And as we fulfill this admonition that he gave, it will help us to accomplish what he addressed in verse 17. That is, that the Lord's people remain faithful unto him. There are several things that we can do to be proactive in remaining faithful unto the Lord. And in the last verse, Peter said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Notice, as we have mentioned many, many times over the years, that this verse gives an important word of exhortation to God's people today, and that is that we are to grow in the knowledge of our blessed Savior. In John 5 and verse 39, Jesus revealed the proper source to go to for accomplishing that growth. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So in order to grow in the knowledge of our Lord, we have to go to the right source for information. And Jesus showed that the right source for information to grow in the knowledge of him, of course, is God's holy word, the Scriptures. But as we endeavor to increase our knowledge of the Lord, we're taught in Ephesians 3 and verse 19 to know the love of Christ. Now in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was offering a prayer on behalf of God's people. It's a very beautiful prayer. It begins in about verse 14 and goes through the end of the chapter. And Paul made some very special requests on behalf of his brethren. And in verse 19, he said, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." So as we endeavor to grow in the knowledge of our Lord in a general sense, we need, according to this verse, to pay close attention to growing in the knowledge of the Lord's love. So in our lesson today, we want to concentrate on a number of verses that teach us about the love of Christ. We've already been singing about the love of Christ, and did you notice that both songs contain one particular word to describe the Lord's love? That is the word wonderful. That's a very special word. But those songs rightly describe the Lord's love as being wonderful. Well, as we endeavor to search the Scriptures to grow in our knowledge of the Lord in a general sense, today we want to be more specific, and we want to concentrate on several passages that teach us what we need to know about the love of Christ. Now, we can't cover every single verse that deals with that subject in one lesson, but we do want to look at a number of verses that will help us to appreciate and grow in our knowledge of the Lord's love. So as we search the Scripture today, let's examine the Lord's love. I suppose a good place for us to begin is by pointing out that we have a number of responsibilities that have to do with the Lord's love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and read verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Now, in verse 2, we're given a very important admonition to walk in love. That's something that God wants us to do as his dear children. But notice who sets the example for us as we endeavor to walk in love. Paul was the inspired writer. He says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. In order to know how we are to walk in love, we need to know something about the Lord's love, because he provides the proper example for us. That brings us to the theme of our lesson. We want to grow in our knowledge of the Lord's love. It's important for us to know about his love so that we can walk in love properly. Well, let's notice a few admonitions that Jesus gave during his ministry. Let's turn to John chapter 15. In our lesson, we'll be looking at a number of verses found in the Gospel of John. John has been referred to many times as the Apostle of Love because he wrote in detail concerning that very important subject. John 15 and verse 9 says, as the Father, this is Jesus speaking, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's a very important responsibility that the Lord has given to us concerning his love. We are to continue in his love. Well, in order to continue in his love, we need to know about it. And thankfully, the scriptures teach us what we need to know on that very important subject. But look at the next verse. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The responsibility that Jesus dealt with in verse 10 is that we are to abide in his love. Now, I want you to notice that we've already read from Ephesians 5 that we're to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Walking indicates going in a certain direction and accomplishing the Lord's will. Well, in order to be children of God, as Ephesians 5 teaches us to be, we're to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Well, thankfully, the scriptures teach us all about the Lord's love, and Jesus said that we are to continue in it, and we are to abide in his love. So consider those responsibilities. We're to walk in love as Christ has loved us. We're to continue in the Lord's love, and we are to abide in the Lord's love. I think we can see from those three passages that we have some important responsibilities that have to do with the Lord's love. Therefore, we need to know what the Bible teaches us on that very important subject. That's the purpose for our lesson today, is to help us know what we need to know about the Lord's love. You know, I don't think we can ever get to the point where we can say that I know everything revealed in the Bible concerning the Lord's love. Teresa and I have been married for 44 years. We dated for 4 years before that. After all this time, I'm still learning things about her. More than likely, she's learning a few things about me too. That's just the way it is. I think that teaches us a lesson, though, in a very crude way, that growing in the knowledge of the Lord's love is a lifelong process. I don't think we can ever get to the point where we say, well, I know all that there is to know about the Lord's love. If you're like me, if you've studied everything, you need to go back and do it again because you've forgotten part of it. Well, we need to study what the Bible teaches about the Lord's love on a regular basis. And we need to be striving to constantly grow in our knowledge of the Lord's love. Let's talk about the fact that the Lord's love is dependable. There are a number of verses that show that to be the case. Since we're in the Gospel of John, let's look at chapter 13 and read the first verse. This one statement written by John helps us to understand that the Lord's love is dependable. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world," now notice this, "he loved them unto the end." I've always loved that statement. You know, if you do something to the end, that's as long as you can do it. You can't do it any longer. Jesus loved his followers unto the end. Now you need to know something about this situation. This was the occasion when Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples. This was just before he was arrested. And it was on that very serious and solemn occasion that Jesus gave instructions for eating his supper so that his followers would always remember the sacrifice that he was about to make. Now, John doesn't tell us this, but Luke does. On that occasion, the disciples got into an argument about which one was the greatest. Now, the scriptures teach that that discussion came up on at least three occasions. And Jesus dealt with it differently on each occasion. On this occasion, he washed the disciples' feet. Now, Jesus knew what was in man. He knew what the disciples were up to. But even though he knew what was about to happen, he loved them unto the end. That's just as long as you can love somebody. Well, I think that's another way of showing that the Lord's love is dependable. Over the years, I've seen a few situations. At least one involved grown men. Other situations have involved children. And we all want to depend on people for their love and affection. When something happens and that person's no longer in the picture, that can have a very harmful effect. I remember a few years ago, I was involved, at least to some degree, with a little football team that played in Daytona. I would talk to the football players before the game. I would give them a scripture that I thought was appropriate and have a prayer with them. And it took a little while. I learned a few things about some of those young men. Most of them grew up without fathers. Now, they didn't just automatically accept me, but after a little while, some of them began to accept me, and I kind of felt like they were maybe looking at me like a father figure. I can remember one fellow came up, and he was huge. He was an offensive lineman, and he broke his arm. And Teresa used to print the scriptures out on little index cards, and so I'd pass them all out. And anyway, this one fellow came up to me. He couldn't play because of his injured arm. You could tell he looked like a little boy who got his hand caught in the cookie jar, as we say. He wanted to come clean on something. He said, "I hope you don't mind if I took a few extra scripture cards." And he pulled them out of his cast. He said, "I want to give them to my friends." Well, that just about broke me down. Here was this huge man, three times my size, and he wanted to let me know that he had taken those scripture cards to give to his friends. Well, I sensed over the while that I was with that team that these fellows, although they were big, strong men and could take on a lot of physical punishment, there was something lacking in their lives. They were lacking someone who loved them unto the end. And I tell you, when you see that in the lives of little children, that really hurts. I think I've told you this before, but I remember a little girl that I got real close to many years ago came up to me one time and said, "Brother Wayman, I wish you were my daddy." Oh, that hurt. That child needed someone to love her unto the end. Well, that's the way the Lord loves. He loves unto the end. He doesn't stop loving us. Nothing can come up that would prevent us from having the Lord's love, and we need to appreciate that. The Lord's love is not here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus loved his followers unto the end. What a great statement that is. But in connection with the fact that the Lord's love is dependable, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Now, in my judgment, the statement found in John 13 and verse 1 is pretty remarkable when it says that Jesus loved his followers unto the very end. But let's let the Apostle Paul tell us about it in Romans chapter 8. He shows us that nothing can separate the Lord's people from his love. Romans 8, let's start at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Isn't that what we're talking about? Well, that's an interesting question. Here's the answer. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted a sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I'd say that's pretty definite, wouldn't you? Nothing can separate the Lord's people from his love. Now, the point we're making is the Lord's love is dependable. Now, we have responsibilities that relate to the Lord's love. We're to walk in love as Christ has loved us. We're to continue in his love. We're to abide in his love. Well, we need to understand that the Lord's love is dependable. Well, let's look at some examples of the Lord's love that are found in the scriptures. Not only does the Bible declare that the Lord loves his people, the Bible shows it on many occasions. Let's look at John chapter 17 for a moment. And we need to point out that Jesus knew that the Father loved him. Now, this is important because Jesus knew very well what was about to happen to him. As chapter 18 begins, Jesus was arrested. He was then tried, condemned, and crucified. Just before he was arrested, he prayed the beautiful prayer found in John 17. But I want you to notice that as he was concluding his prayer, he showed that he knew that the Father loved him. Now keep in mind what was about to happen to him, and Jesus knew very well in detail what was going to happen. John chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus knew that the Father loved him, even though he was about to die and shed his precious blood for the sins of the world. Now, sometimes people want to associate the Father's love with everything going just on easy street. I've mentioned this before several times, and I believe that we need to recognize the Father for his goodness, and we need to express our appreciation to him when things go well. I try to do that, and I'm sure you do too. But how many times have I heard people say, when everything is going well, God is good? Well, he is good. We need to appreciate his goodness. But I want to tell you something else. He's also good when things are not going so well. He's not only good when everything's going well, he's good all the time. Jesus knew that the Father loved him even though he was headed for the cross. He knew that was the Father's will. But he also knew that his sacrifice would affect everyone coming along and everyone who had ever been here. Well, Jesus knew that the Father loved him. We need to remember that. When we have questions, we may even have doubts. We don't have to wonder about the Father's love. Jesus knew that the Father loved him. Something else that Jesus did, he loved the Father. Look at John 14. Let's read verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence. Jesus loved the Father. Well, the Father not only loves us when everything's going well, he loves us all the time. And he deserves our love in return. Not just when he's blessing us abundantly, but maybe even when we're in need. We need to remember that. We're talking about examples of the Lord's love. Jesus knew that the Father loved him. He also loved the Father. Another example of the Lord's love is his concern for the church. Jesus loved the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. In this part of Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul was writing about the relationship that exists between the Lord and the church. Now, he did so by dealing with the responsibilities of husbands and wives. Let's notice something he mentioned in connection with husbands. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It distresses me when I hear people say disparaging comments concerning the church. Jesus loved it so much that he died for it. I'd say the church is very special to him, wouldn't you? Well, Jesus loved the church. How much? Well, let's let old brother John explain that to us in Revelation 3 and verse 19. In Revelation 3, the latter part of it, the Lord sent a message to the church in Laodicea. Now, that was the congregation that had a problem with lukewarmness. And the Lord rebuked that church, and he called upon it to repent. Now, why? Ephesians 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, this is the Lord speaking, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus loved the church so much that he gave himself for it, but he continues to love the church, and he wants us to be in good standing with him. This church did not meet with the Lord's approval, and he called upon it to repent. As we look at examples of the Lord's love, we have to point out that the Lord loved people. He loved his disciples. We've already pointed out from John 13 and verse 1 that he loved them unto the end. Let's look also at John 13 and verse 23. John chapter 13 and verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's an expression that John used a number of times when he was referring to himself. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, that's just one illustration or one example of how the Lord loved his disciples. And they were not always lovable, but Jesus loved them unto the end. Look at John 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That was the Lord speaking to his disciples. Jesus loved his friends. Turn back a few chapters to John chapter 11. And let's notice how the Lord felt toward one particular family. John 11, we'll start at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now notice this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, these were siblings. Lazarus, of course, was the brother. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus loved that family. That family loved him. Well, Lazarus passed away, and Jesus reacted to what happened. Let's look at verses 35 and 36, and notice an observation that was made by the people who were present. Jesus wept, verse 35. But verse 36 says, Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. The people who are present can tell that Jesus loved Lazarus because of the way that he responded to his death. Well, Jesus loved that family. And although they loved him dearly, can you imagine how much they loved him after he brought Lazarus out of that tomb? Well, it would have been interesting to be present and listen to them tell about what happened on that occasion. Look at John 15 and verse 13. This passage goes along with the fact that Jesus loved his friends. Chapter 15 and verse 13, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved people. He loved his disciples. He loved his friends. But I want us to consider one other example. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We want to read about a young man identified as the rich young ruler. Mark's account is different from the other accounts. Mark gives one extra detail that we want to point out. Mark 10, let's start at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I believe this young man was serious. He came running to the Lord. It was a matter of urgency with him. And he had something on his mind. He was concerned about having eternal life. Well, he went to the right source for it. He was earnest in approaching the Lord. Let's notice the Lord's response. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The problem was not that this young man was wealthy. The problem was his possessions had control of him. Jesus knew that. I'd studied and taught from this for a long time before I finally read an article that pointed this out. Jesus listed several commandments from the law of Moses. And this young man said, I've observed those commandments from the time I was just a young boy. That's commendable. But Jesus did not mention the commandment that talked about coveting. He didn't mention that. The Lord knew this young man's problem when he came to him. That's why the Lord said he was going to have to sell what he had and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. Jesus knew that he had a problem, but he loved him anyway. He loved him so much that he told that young man what he needed to hear. Not necessarily what he wanted to hear, but what he needed to hear. Well, we need to appreciate the Lord's love. He loved his disciples unto the end. He loved his friends. He shows us how we can be his friends today. And he even loved this young man that had an idol in his heart. I don't know what happened to that young man. I don't know if he had an opportunity to think about the fact that he failed on that occasion. It's just not recorded, so we don't know. I would like to think that maybe his interaction with the Lord had an effect on him. Jesus even talked about sowing seeds, didn't he? Sometimes the seed doesn't sprout immediately. Sometimes it takes a while. I don't know if this young man had a change of heart or not. I'd like to hope that he did. One other example of the Lord's love is that he loves those who obey him. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Also verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus loves those who obey him. Now, he loves everybody. But there's a special bond between the Lord and those who submit to his will. Well, these are some examples of the Lord's love. He knew that the Father loved him, and he never lost sight of that. He also loved the Father. He never lost sight of that. He loved the church, and how grateful we need to be that he loved the church and still does. He loved people, including his disciples, his friends, and even the rich young ruler. And Jesus has a special bond of love for those who obey him. Now, since we're talking about love, we have to tie in just a few verses from 1 Corinthians 13, which, as you know, is the great love chapter of the Bible. But let's consider this inspired description of Christian love and see if it pretty much describes the Lord's love. There are 15 characteristics given here of Christian love. They're almost split right down the middle between negative characteristics and positive. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Doesn't that pretty much describe the Lord's love? He's patient and kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. From the few verses that we've studied today about the Lord's love, I think we can see that those verses in 1 Corinthians 13 pretty much describe the Lord's love. Well, remember, we're to walk in love as Christ also loved us. Well, as we search the scriptures to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, let's know his love, as the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 3 and verse 19. And then let us walk in love as he loved us. I think if we will fulfill that responsibility, we're going to have an impact on somebody's life.